Bow your heads, please. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you with humble hearts, grateful for this privilege to hear from heaven. These amazing people did not come to hear from me. They came to hear from you, dear Lord God. So I thank you, according to Isaiah 50, for giving me the tongue of the learned, that I may speak a word in season to them that are weary. And according to 1 Corinthians 2, that my teaching is not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration and manifestation of his spirit and of power. And Father, I thank you that your word will not return to you void, that your people hear, Father God, according to Hebrews 4:2, they will mix it with faith, and they will bring forth fruit, and that fruit shall remain, and you will be glorified. In Jesus' name, let all who agree with that say,
amen,
amen. Amen. So our series, sermon series for this month is Adopted into Royalty. Say adopted. Okay, and our scriptural text is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 19, 18 through 19. And that's on your handout there, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Verse 18 says, "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors." There's an empty life that you inherited from your ancestors. Now, when I read that, I think about Abraham. God told him to get away from your country, your kinfolk, and your father's house. The work that God wanted to do was going to require him to break free from that which he had become accustomed to. You know the thing about dysfunction? Dysfunction loves dysfunction. And if you grew up in a dysfunctional environment, you have a very difficult time moving to a functional environment. I've learned as a pastor, I've never had to kick anybody out of the church, never had a problem. All I do is create a functional environment. Dysfunctional people would be up and out of here in no time. They last about 2 months. Glory to God. I think about Abraham. I think about David. You know, David's father didn't even think enough of him to bring him to the celebration when the prophet Samuel came and said, one of your sons is going to be anointed the next king. He didn't think that much of David. And yet we saw that David was the king. You got to think about Joseph, how his brothers hated him. But long before that, his mother died, giving birth to his little brother Benjamin. You think about the difficulty that he experienced. But also, too, think about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, his brothers and his family didn't even believe in him. And later on, they came around, but initially, they grew up. I mean, when he was coming up, they didn't. So for a lot of you guys that had, you know, what you might call crazy families or difficult situations and all that, you know, God wants to just pull you out of that and help you grow into your purpose. Remember, the challenge with a lot of us is we get our identity through our family. I didn't come from my family. I came through my family. You understand? Came through them. So there was things I needed to pick up and things I need to let go of. Amen. All right. And let me continue. It says here, and the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Now, our series is Adopted into Royalty. Today's sermon is Divine Authority. Divine Authority. Last week was the 5-on-5 and Mother's Day. And so we had five here. And didn't they minister powerfully to the ladies? Yeah. Amen. And the previous Sunday, you know, with this series, Adopted into Royalty, it was naked and not ashamed. We talked about the original state of man. They were, Adam and Eve, they were naked and not ashamed. And now that we're under the blood, all has been done away with, that's how we need to approach our lives. Hallelujah. Now, here we go, divine authority. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. Your ignorance of your divine authority allows the enemy access to your life. The enemy loves ignorance. That's why he loves to keep you in the dark. In our scriptural text is Luke 10, verse 17. And it says, when the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. The Lord Jesus has sent out 72 disciples, told them, go heal the sick, cast out demons, and do things like that. And when they came back, they reported to him, wow, it's amazing. Even the demons, wow. When we use your name, they're listening to us. Now, that's authority right there. That's authority. I remember when I was at my church at Zoe, and Elder, Kelvin, you can attest to this. He was the COO there. That sometimes, you know, you would tell the parking lot guys, the ushers to do something, and they would say, well, what did Pastor Ed say? What Pastor Ed say about it? And I understood what they were saying, and really they were like, under whose authority are you coming at us now with these instructions? And as soon as we say Pastor Ed, oh, okay, they would abide. It got to the point where we rose in our leadership skill set. From now on, we ain't got to say Pastor Ed. Hallelujah. But authority here, the definition is a person or organization having power or control in a particular, typically political or administrative sphere. So in a particular sphere, a particular area, you have authority. Now, before we get into this, I want you to understand something. The mistake we make is that we look at this world that we live in, this dimension that we are presently abiding in. Remember we talked about our bodies and that the body's going to go away. We're going to get glorified bodies. Here's the thing. We begin to, for whatever reason, think that this is it. This is the sum total of our existence. And here's something for me. Jack and I go on vacation. No, forget that. When we go on a mission trip. Okay, let's say like we were in Israel just a few weeks ago. You know, we were in Peru. I was by myself in the Philippines with you. And when we go there, we stay in a hotel. Okay, sometimes nice ones, most of the time not so nice. Anyway, the point is, we unpack, put up our clothes, take the toiletry bag and put up there, kind of lay out what we're going to wear and all that. But we don't make that our home because we're only there temporarily. Because I know after my assignment, usually 2 or 3 weeks, I'm coming back home. And the mistake we make here living in this realm is we think this is home. This is temporary. So I'm going to limit how involved and how much stock really and effort I put into here. I'm not going to get my value from here. It's not where I'm from. You understand that? Okay, so demons, angels, they will come from there, that other realm, into here. Now, for whatever reason, it's God, it's easier for them to come from there to here than for us to go that way. Okay? It is what it is. It reminds me of the slave castles on the coast of Ghana, where when and for you guys that don't have issues with it, whatever, but black people would capture other black people, bring them down to the shore, and then sell them. Okay? You say, well, that ain't whatever. I've been there. I saw it. Now, here's what they would do, too. There's this thing, this tunnel. It was called the point of no return or something like that, okay? And then you would just duck down and duck down. And once you come out, you're on the beach. And then I burst into tears when I saw that, when I began to realize that the slaves saw the ship there and they knew they weren't going back home. And you turn around, and it was so dark in the way it was, you couldn't go back in. Well, for whatever reason, it's easier to come from the spirit realm down here, okay? And now here's the thing, too. Demons don't belong here. The earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof. And he's given it to us to have dominion. Okay, you got that? Okay, so now let's pick this up. We're going to have fun. Here we go. Verse 17, when the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. 18, yes, he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Now look at 19. Look, I have given you authority. I have given you authority. I have given you authority. I've given you authority. Now, here's where we run into problems, too, sometimes. A lot of times, based on how I'm wired or how you're wired, is going to determine the level in which you're going to exercise your authority. There are some of you guys that are sweet, nice, kind, easygoing. Y'all have a problem stepping up. I ain't mad at you, but you do. Now, it's a blessing that you have the personality where people generally like being around you. You're very pleasant, you know. You guys, but sometimes you're going to have to step your game up. You're going to have people like me who know their authority. The problem is sometimes too much, too bossy, too controlling, too domineering, too dictatorial. Right, Big Ron? Wait, Tracy, you laughing too? Me and Miss Tracy had fun last Friday. Tracy exercised her authority, had to release some people, like, you can't come. Anyway, no, it was rightfully so. Amen. It was funny, but I love you, sis. All right. We're doing some work with him, students at Hemant High. But anyway, I have given you authority. And then, so again, you got to really understand, this is so important that you understand this within this context, okay? I have given you authority over all the power or ability of the enemy. And many times we don't know that. Because so many times we're trying to prevent something. And that's why a lot of people won't step the game up or walk in authority. It's something you're afraid of happening. And I hear people say, I'm afraid of failing. Why? If you really get to the root, you're worried about what people are going to think. Oh, he tried and he messed up. Do y'all know how much I've messed up? Before we go on a mission trip, what do I tell you? What do I tell you? Okay, I'm telling you, the first orientation or the first training session, I say, okay, I'm going to tell everybody, okay, team, let's go left. And quickly realize, oops. And then I'm going to turn around and say, oops, my bad. Let's go right. I can't like, oh, God, they're going to think I'm a loser. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I don't have time for that. I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. You don't have to be afraid. Nothing will injure you. Now, in the context, he's talking about things that are demonic. Now, y'all can go play with some snakes over there in Africa, in South America, in Brazil, in Amazon. You want to? So go out, right? Actually, out here in the desert. I lived in Chino Hills. I'll be driving as I saw snakes, okay? You can go play with them if you want to, okay? Go ahead. That's not what this is speaking of. Verse 20. I will come and pray for you in the hospital. I will. I will not hold it against you. Me and Minister Dwayne, we'll go lay hands on you. Trust God. And also cast out that foolishness. But verse 20. It says, but don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. You know, when Elder Kelvin and I, we used to do deliverance, and the voices, you can. Remember, we would hear stuff, and I remember one time we were praying for a guy to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you could see, this is so cool. So, profile, you could see, like I was standing like where you guys were, I was sitting, and you could see something in his chest doing this, and it's like, okay, that ain't humanly possible. And then what happened was I'm standing there, and Pastor Ed's son was praying for him to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, the guy fell. Everybody's like, oh, he fell under the power. No, that wasn't the wrong power. I'm watching. The man began to slither like a snake on his back. And it was about, 30, maybe 40 men at that time at that getaway. And these grown, strong men, and I mean big, muscle-bound, 24-hour fitness center-going brothers, knocked over chairs. They were all standing up against the wall, shivering and shaking. I'm like, okay, hold up, y'all. Is this our brother here? Yes. Don't you have authority over the enemy? Yes. Well, look, all y'all come off the wall. Stretch your hands towards him. We got to get our brother delivered. We cannot go back to church and back down at heel or back to the church with him in this condition. Now, you got authority. And I had to explain to him while he was still slithering. I told him to stop in the name of Jesus. And he did. And we cast the thing out of the man. That's what it's talking about. Nothing's going to harm you. It's nothing to be afraid of. Let's keep going, though, okay? Now, first of all, this I want to point out. So when Jesus gave these disciples, these 72, okay, authority, he had not died and gone to heaven. They were not blood-bought. They had not been redeemed yet. And for you guys that are really charismatic and Pentecostals and love to run and jump and swing on the chandeliers, you know you guys, I got out of my bops every 20 seconds. I'm spirit-filled too, but you know who I'm talking about, okay? They weren't spirit-filled. And for you guys that do deliverance and speaking in tongues, when you speak in tongues, it says you're speaking unto God. You ain't speaking unto no demon. Oh, I got one for you. You Hebrew Israelites, you guys that blacks are the, you know, you guys are so, and you guys that move away from Jesus, he's now Yeshua. Watch two YouTube videos and all of a sudden you're an authority. Okay. And this is my answer to everybody on this Yeshua kick. Now, I understand that. It's his name in Hebrew. It is. I'm not disputing that, and cool if you want to use it. But all of a sudden now you feel elevated because you got a little knowledge. Let me tell you something. When I said Jesus, them demons tremble. When we're in Spanish, I say, Jesus, bam. Okay, they understand. Because see, here's the thing, too. You got to move beyond what's coming out your mouth, and you got to walk in your authority. And that's just something they understand. Now, let's get into this. Acts 19, okay? All right, here we go. So, Acts 19. But before we do that, I want you guys got your hand out. You see the picture there? I wanted to show you this because I want you to get this. God, I want you to get this. And so, often, we don't have an appreciation. Not an appreciation, just an understanding of just the things of God. Now, you got your map. Look down in the right-hand corner. You see the purple arrow? That's Jerusalem. Now, everybody knows the significance of Jerusalem, correct? All right. And now, if you look just now, that's where you guys know that's where Jesus, that's where everything was jumping off, okay? Got it? Okay, that's in Israel. Now, you see the blue arrow about in the middle of the map? That's Ephesus, okay? The book of Ephesians, the people that lived in Ephesus. Got it? Look to the left a little bit. You see the red one? That's Corinth. First and second Corinthians. Now, you guys that are the Alpha team, we're going through our training on Tuesday nights. Now, we learned that there were at least four letters actually written to the church in Corinth, okay? We just have two copies, so we call them first and second. The 1 Corinthians is actually Paul's response to letters and questions that the church in Corinth had written him to ask him questions. And so I want you to understand the significance of this, where Paul was working. We're going to refer back to this a little bit more. I want you guys to have a deeper understanding, because sometimes we just read the Bible and have no conception. What happened is, like, when we were in Israel, and I'm not mad at anybody, it happened to me up on my first visit too. You don't understand how you take your Western mindset, and not just Western mindset, your own cultural beliefs, and overlay them onto the scripture. Okay? Because even like with distances, we have no clue. If you look at what Paul did without an airplane, without Carnival Cruise Line or Royal Caribbean, look how much he traveled. He didn't have Amtrak. And it helps me too. It humbles me. So when it's time to go, because people are like, how are you always doing all of that? One, I think about how blessed I am. But that's a long time to sit on an airplane. They feed you. You got a bathroom. You got like 325 movies to watch. It's like, what's the problem? Think about it for a moment. If you think you're uncomfortable, how was Paul? So I want you guys just to have that understanding, amen? Okay, now let's look at how he traveled here. Go back to your handout for today. Acts 19, verse 1 through 20, we're going to walk through this, okay? And we're still talking about your divine authority. And I want you to recognize that you have it, and you have to operate in it. Jesus said he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. But that's going to come with some recognition of really whose you are. Verse 1, while Apollos was in Corinth, you guys remember Corinth, right? Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. Now watch this, verse 2. I don't know many of you have heard this before, but just stay with me, okay? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now here's the thing. He recognized they believed, but they hadn't received the Holy Spirit. And see, when I grew up, I was told that once you believe, you receive the Holy Spirit. And the family that lived next door to us in Shreveport, Louisiana, we laughed at them and we called them holy rollers because they babbled. And I was told they went out with the apostles. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. No, they replied, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Now, one of the things that helps me is I look at this and I wonder, what is it I still don't know? A friend of mine got his bachelor's in biblical studies and religion and something else from Liberty University, and we went out and celebrated with him last night. My friend Hugo Martinez, great, great man. And I have a master's in theology. And even going through my master's program, there was things I realized I didn't know. Even you guys just went to Israel. Remember we went to Caiaphas' house? And what you thought a trial looked like, you had looked at your Western mindset of a trial, and when you saw where Jesus actually was during that trial, it blew you away. And I'm always asking myself, what else don't I know? What else am I assuming? And we think we've arrived. God used you to speak a word to somebody one time. It was so clear, a prophetic word, and they're like, that was confirmation, hallelujah. And you feel like all of a sudden, like, you know, you John the Baptist, or you the Apostle Paul, or there's still things we don't know. Verse 3. Then what baptism did you experience, he asked. And they replied, the baptism of John. And Paul said, John's baptism called for repentance from sin. But John himself told the people to believe in the one who will come later, meaning Jesus. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied, which is a subsequent event to their salvation. Okay, verse 6. Then when Paul laid his hands on them, and I read that, verse 7, there were about 12 men in all. And I want you guys to understand, here's a group of men who really love God, but they didn't have it, they didn't know it all. I remember being in Tulsa, Oklahoma with my dad, and my dad would preach revivals just all over, especially the southern part of Mississippi and Texas, and he all the time. And I loved going with him as a little boy. He actually wouldn't let me go to school. I can hang out with my daddy. We get to Tulsa, and that was the first time I saw, we called an Indian, Native American, an Indian. He had long black hair and a braid and went down his back. Freaked me out. Only other Indian I'd seen was Tonto on the Lone Ranger. And that was in black and white. I go back before color TV came out, okay? And I remember, like, we would see, like, a Lutheran church. Daddy, what's a Lutheran? Daddy, what's a Presbyterian? Daddy, what's the Methodist? And I couldn't understand all that. But what I really believed in my heart was we was right and they were wrong. I really had that level of arrogance. Now, I'm young and I didn't know, because that was my daddy. And after all, when my daddy would preach, people would shout, turn over chairs. I saw men run and turn over chairs and run into other people. It was amazing. So, of course, my daddy knew it all. That's not a criticism. But remember, God came to redeem me from an empty life. father was very influential on my life, good and bad, okay? Yeah, you guys know the bad stuff. I'm talking about the good stuff this morning. And when I look at these guys here, they sincerely thought they had it all. And many of you just content with salvation, but he sent you here for a reason. It's a reason he's calling us to holiness and righteous living. There's a reason he doesn't want me sleeping with half the women here. There's a reason. And the men too, for that sake. Wait, let me tell you what my mama told me. Wait. So when I got called a pastor, right? My mama, y'all know my mama. She said, Okay, baby. Now, you know, Tony, just stay before his feet. Stay before, that's she always told me and my brother, meaning stay before the Lord. Stay before his feet. Stay before his feet, okay? And baby, don't be messing with the women. I said, Mama, I'm good. I'm going to be good. Okay, baby. Well, nowadays, don't be messing with the men. I said, Mama, I'm good. Okay, and Tony, don't be messing with the little boys. Mama! That was the truth. Yeah, she was. Amen. Amen. But I'm being silly. But the thing is that what we have to make sure that, and for all of us, okay, get into your word. That's why I give you the handouts. I'm giving you the maps. I give you go do the YouTube. I'm giving walking through the Bible study at your convenience. Get into, don't just listen to me. Get in, pray, get before God, listen to him. Amen. It's important. You're gonna be held accountable. Let's keep going. Verse 8. Then Paul went to the synagogue. Okay, left the 12, the man, John the Baptist's disciples and all that. Then Paul went to the synagogue and preached boldly for the next 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. Remember, he only had the Old Testament. Can you speak of Jesus? Can you witness and not use the Old Testament and tell people about Christ? That's the goal for this summer, okay? By the end of the summer, we're going to walk through the Old Testament, and we're going to see Christ in the Old Testament. Verse 9, but some became stubborn, as people do, rejecting his message and publicly speaking against the way. So Paul left the synagogue and took the believers with him. Then he held daily discussions at the lecture hall of Tyrannus. Now, what we generally believe, there were some manuscripts found from biblical times with just a little insertion, a little notation, and it looks like from five to ten, Paul would just teach and train. And it looks like he found a place where during siesta time or during break in a day where people would come and listen. And it seems as though, I'm saying it seems because this is outside Bible writing, okay? It seems as though that people, that the word was beginning to get out and that people were coming to hear what this guy was saying, okay? Verse 10. This went on for the next 2 years so that throughout the province of Asia, both Jews and Greeks heard the word of the Lord. Verse 11, God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. When handkerchiefs or aprons that had merely touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their diseases, watch this, and evil spirits were expelled. I need you to see this about the evil spirits, okay? Everybody got that, okay? Here we go, verse 13. A group of Jews was traveling from town to town, casting out evil spirits. Now, we're going to contrast what Paul was doing versus these Jewish dudes, okay? They tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus in their incantation, saying, I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out. Whom Paul preaches. They didn't really know him. This is what I'm telling you, too, because sometimes you'll get something, you'll go tell somebody, well, my pastor said, it needs to come from you. You need to have a level of understanding about it, of yourself. It can't just be because Pastor Tony said it. What if I got up and forgot to pray or had a bad day? You have to know for yourself. Verse 14, seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, were doing this. But one time they tried it, and the evil spirit, Herod replied, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? Now, if you read this in Greek, it literally says, I know Jesus and I know about Paul, but who are you? It knows about Paul. Now, I showed you from Jerusalem, okay? And remember, Paul was on his way to Damascus to throw some people in jail, went for believing in Jesus when Jesus met him on the way. And so from that whole region, Paul is traveling. Now, here's the thing about demons, and just listen to me, okay? And when you get home, go back and write notes now, but you're going to have to go back and listen to this because I'm going to run through it real quick. Demons are in a hierarchy. much like our army, our military, if you would. You got the generals that sit in the Pentagon, then you got the guys, the frontline guys out there actually executing everything, and in between them is a whole lot of people, okay? Orders are given. If you're down on the field and they tell, let's say, me and Sean, Minister Sean and Minister Tim, we out there and we supposed to go take this village or whatever and rescue a hostage or something, we just get orders on what to do. We don't know the whole scope of everything, okay? And then there's a guy above us, I guess the sergeant or whoever, he might know a little bit more, and lieutenants and colonels and all that. That's how it goes. Same thing, demonically speaking. So when you read Ephesians 6, and it talks about we're wrestling out against flesh and blood, okay? And that's really what it's speaking of. Now you say, well, that's all? No, no. Go to Daniel. Remember Daniel. When he was praying for 21 days, an angel didn't show up. Finally, he did. And he said, hey, as soon as the word was heard, he went, right? The angel responded. But he said, I was met by the demon principal, or the main one. Look at the word principal in Hebrew. The main principal, okay, of over that region, which was over all of Persia, which is modern-day Iraq and Iran in that area. And he fought against me. And then he came and delivered the answer to Daniel. But then he said, you know, just in a little while, dude, the prince of Greece is coming. So you have these demons over different regions. What do you think is over East? Well, I don't know about today. It's been a long time. But when I was coming up, what do you think the demon was over East L.A.? What do you think the demon was over Compton? It's so funny. We were talking about these school shootings and all that. Man, I had school shootings all the time. I never got a counselor. No, they never sent no team of the counselors because we was traumatized. You just went to the next class. It was like, you know, like, oh, man, you see, well, such and such, rabies. They was capping today. And we went on a science class. I feel cheated. Okay. But they are hierarchical, okay? Now, this is what I think. This is me. Say, it's just Pastor Tony. So Paul is traveling through these regions. And so here's a demon in a guy, and all of a sudden they put a handkerchief on him, and a demon leaves. The demon's communicating. Dang, that Paul knows his authority. And they communicate into one another. Because this one demon here says, Paul, I know about. How did he know about Paul? So it makes me wonder, what do they know about me? What do they know about you? They know you still injured from what your mama did or didn't do? They know how to play you. What do you think familiar spirits are? Do the root word on familiar. Family. That's an old generational curse thing. That's why Jack and I, we share it with you publicly. We don't drink. Well, you forget that. I don't drink because I don't be an alcoholic. I remember Fridays getting off work. Only thing I could think about was that wine cooler. I know y'all do the heavy stuff. That stuff's nasty. I can't stand bourbon, and I ain't drinking no vodka. I don't do that, okay? That, even back in the day, y'all like that. You know, Cavassier. Ugh. Jackie's just like, come on, drink this. That's nasty. No, I need some fruity, some sugary, something. But even after a while, we stopped with that. I ain't, no. We left that alone. Because my daddy drank like a fish. And for some reason, he can sober up around 7 a.m. on Sunday morning. He could bring it. he could. No, I'm telling you, Pop's good. But then it wasn't just my dad. All my dad's brothers drank. And my grandfather drank. So it's like, wait a minute, hold up. This got to stop somewhere. Now, none of my three sons drink at all. That's how you break that curse. It's just to make a decision that we ain't doing it anymore. Not doing it anymore. So we talk about being delivered from that empty life you inherited from your ancestors. I've been for real. So here's the thing about Paul, okay? A demon says to Paul, says to these guys, but who are you? And see, sometimes we don't know who we are, and then this is how we suffer. Lord Jesus. These seven sons, they were caught up in somebody else's identities. Whose identity are you caught up in? The labels that you wear? Okay, this is Fendi. It's Michael Kors. And I ain't mad at you. But if that's where you get, it's all right to have nice stuff, but does it have you? That's the difference. That's the difference. Verse 16, the man with the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowered them, and attacked them with such violence that they fled from the house naked and battered. I got to close with this because of time. But look at this. Just telling you. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for them. Isaiah 5:13 says they go into captivity, I think 5:12, 12 or 13. They go into captivity because they have no knowledge. So he can hold you captive because of your ignorance. You know the parable of the sower? Jesus talked about this. The farmer went along and had some seeds, and seed represent the word of God. It fell on four different kinds of ground. Only one of the four that it fell on bore fruit. So even in a situation like this, I believe only one out of four of you are getting what I'm saying. That's why I learned it don't bother me when people say amen. They ain't got to stand up. It's fine. Only one of four you're going to get it and bring forth 30, 60, 100 fold. But ground number one, he said that when the seed was sown, the birds and the air came and ate it up. And when he gave the interpretation, he said that represents when people hear the word and don't understand it, the enemy comes in and snatches, literally means seizes by force, what was sown in their hearts. So an enemy has access to your heart when you're ignorant. With all that getting, get understanding. Get wisdom is the principal thing, primary thing. We have to get wisdom, and all the times we don't. We don't even understand ourselves. I don't know why I can't stop sleeping with people. I don't know why I keep letting people abuse me. And then as a reverse, some of y'all, I don't know why you keep, why do I keep abusing people? Why do I keep finding people I need to run over? Ignorance right there. And he has access. Paul said, don't give place to the devil. Place. Place. You can. And he was talking to saved, spirit-filled Christians. Don't give place. So that means we can. And one of the ways is we stay ignorant. I need to know whose I am. I need to fully understand that. Amen. And that helps me move away from all the trauma of my past. Because I don't want to get in a situation where an enemy says to me, oh, I know Jesus. But who are you? And then before you know it, it's just all up in my stuff. Can't live like that. And last thing, the reason I can't live like that is because once I get to heaven, because I'm safe. Blood bought, I'm safe. Washed, I'm blood bought. I'm going to close my eyes here, open up my eyes in heaven, and the Lord's going to stand before me and say, Tony, Minister, can you come sit in front of me? Minister Dwayne, what did you do with the gifts, talents, time, opportunities I gave you? And if you say, well, I was afraid, and I hid what you gave me in the ground, I didn't do nothing because, you know, President Trump was in office and the Mexicans was coming here to America, taking all the jobs, and the economy was bad, and Barack didn't save us like I thought he would, and then my pastor, you know, he didn't study the night before, and, you know, my wife, you know the woman that thou gave me, you know, Carly ain't here, I can do this right now. If you got him next service, I ain't doing this. Okay. But we're going to have to stand before him. Okay, going to have to stand before him. Yes. But what you should say, the thing you want to say is, here's the 5, it's now 10. Here's the 2, it's now 4. And if you're really good, there's a guy in Luke chapter 19, he got 1 and turned his into 10. That's what I'm going for. I want to take my 1 and turn it into 10. And no demon in hell is going to stop me. Because he's given me authority over them because I've been adopted into royalty. So I am his, and no demon is going to talk me out of it or fool me or trick me or deceive me out of what God has for me. Amen? So bow your heads, please. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it will not return unto you void. It shall accomplish, Heavenly Father.